Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Lord God, we know that's what we're supposed to do. This is who we are supposed to be. But Lord, I confess, out of all the characteristics of my life, here is the hardest one. Lord, and I think that is probably true for so many of us, even no matter what our age is. Lord, that we would just give ourselves up so you can be in control. Lord, that we would give up our pride. Lord, we'd give up our preconceived ideas about you and the world and people. Lord, that we would give up our prejudices. Father, and that doesn't even mean racial prejudices, Lord. That's just one of so many prejudices that we have. Father, I pray that you would teach me and teach us, Lord, how to be more abandoned to you. Because, Father, we can trust you. Lord, we can put our full hope in you. We can put the full weight and measure of our lives in your hands. And, Father, it's going to be so much better. So, Lord, in this room today, whatever's going on, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Lord, would lead us and would guide us, and Lord, would help change us, Lord, would adjust our path to the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And it's in your holy and precious name and the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we make our prayer today. All the people said, amen. So, back here in the back, I'm going to ask them to stand. The Horizon Assembly, number 384 of the Rainbow Girls International, right? I hope I got that right. And so, they are here as a part of just their community and learning. And so, I'm going to read a little statement about them. They learn public speaking. They learn how to do community service, leadership skills, and then also, which I think is hugely important in society today, it's not an indictment on cell phones or social media, but as isolated as we can get, it teaches them a lot about self-confidence, so I'm very glad about that. Not just locally, but they do stuff all around the state, and so glad that they're here this morning. They're encouraged to respect themselves, but also others, and that in community as well as the morals and values that they're taught in this organization, and then what their parents are also leading and teaching them. And so they're here today, and I'm glad y'all are here. Would y'all just welcome them this morning as a part of our community? Thank y'all. And then finally, on my own, I just want to say it was such a blessing to be able to do Callan's baptism today. And here's why. It was a huge blessing because it's a huge holy moment. And I always mean that 100%. But also, I'm just going to let y'all in a little secret. I've had great trepidation about baptizing 4 or 5 children in the life of my ministry. And in the last 6 months, I've gotten past almost all of them without any incident out in the water. Like a cannonball or me getting dunked or a big splash or drowning or anything. And so now I say that I tread lightly because there's more coming as they grow up. That worries me as well. But we'll get past those. Part of that was Jackson's over here. Yeah, Jackson Pate. Yeah, he's a boy. I get it. Yeah, and they're nodding his head. And then Cohen Jeffers, hallelujah, amen. The building didn't burn down on top of baptizing him. Callan and also Cam. We did Cam a while back. So I've got 1 or 2 more, and then I'm going to retire, and it's going to be great. So today I want to talk to you about what's next. And in what's next, it's kind of we get to this place. We had this huge buildup to Easter. We went through Christmas, and then we have this 3 or 4 months leading up to Easter, and everything's fun and exciting. And then, just like the disciples, we get to this day, and we kind of go, well, what's next? What are we going to do, and how are we going to move forward? And in that, I had one more thing I wanted to do, and I don't want to forget it, and so I'm going to stop and hit pause. I'm going to call Justin and Michelle up as a part of our community, and if your kids are gone, that's fine. I should have done it before they left, but I want to pray for them. So y'all have seen Justin get up and do announcements and do all these things. And I was so excited when Justin and Michelle came to us, and they're still here, but Justin's taking a new job, and so we won't see him as much on Sunday morning. And but the family needs encouragement just because they've gotten in this great routine of being with us, being a part of us, and God answered a prayer for a new job, and I guess that was a kind of a promotion.
Yeah,
there you go. And it was more money, no matter what.
Yeah,
so there's good. So it was an answer to prayer. It was not an answer to my prayer. I'm just going to tell you selfishly, because once I get somebody that I really know wants to be involved in ministry, Dallas is the same way. We hook our claws into them, and man, we don't want to let them go. But nonetheless, God knows better than I do. Hallelujah. Amen. So I just want to pray for them. And if anybody else wants to, I know it's kind of, we don't do this often, but I just know they need it, and I know they desire it. And so if you want to come pray with them or just reach your hand out, that's great, but I'm going to pray for them. So Father God, I'm so thankful for this family. Lord, I'm thankful that you introduced them into our lives, Father, and it came about in a roundabout way, but Lord, it's always in your timing. And Lord, I'm going to trust in your timing just like they are. Lord, that with this change in life, Lord, you're going to bring great blessings. Not just to Justin and Michelle, but Father, but to Atticus and to Lilith, Lord, that you would just bring great joy and peace and, Lord, the prosperity you have in store for them. And Lord, and where there's a gap in our life, Lord, I pray that you'd fill it by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would just give them encouragement, Lord, to be a part of us whenever they possibly can. Lord, give them safety. Lord, give them your covering. Give them your blessing. Lord, you make a way for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the people said, amen, amen. Thank you all so much. Don't hug me, I'll cry. Keep going. Keep going. All right, so what's next? I think a lot of us, the disciples were looking for purpose, they were looking for vision, they were looking for answers, they were looking for what they were going to do, all this excitement and then all this tragedy and all these great expectations and then all this disappointment. And I ask and say it all the time, how many of you are not where you thought you would be at this point in your life, right? I think it happens to all of us, and we're all looking for that idea of vision and ministry and who we're called to be. And it doesn't matter if you're an adult, doesn't matter if you're a child, doesn't matter if you're a teenager, it doesn't matter who you are, we are all still called. Let me say that again. No matter who you are or how old you are or how young you are, you're all still called. And we must hear that call and we must keep moving, because the seeds that were planted in the disciples are also planted in all of us. The seeds that he had planted and what was to happen next are all planted in all of us. What we need to do is remember where we need to be to thrive and to move forward in life. And so what does that mean? Well, there's some notes online. If you want those, you can text the notes to that phone number and get them. But listen to Psalm 92:13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, when Easter came and after Easter, I think most of the disciples probably felt like their lives were like Death Valley, okay? Death Valley, they don't hardly any rain, all right? I forgot what the amount of rainfall was per year, but it's only second to Lubbock, Texas. And but in that part of the country, it's just a part of life, right? They're used to it. But the disciples, they were really trying to figure out what happens. But let me tell you, in the disciples' life and in our lives, the rains have really already come. The seeds have been planted. What we need to do is realize that with Jesus, when the rains come in Death Valley, they have a thing when it's the perfect season, when the rains come and the right amount of rain, right, they have a thing called the super bloom. And in the super bloom, the whole valley is covered in all sorts of different types of flowers. In fact, there are some rare flowers, rare plants that are found in Death Valley that only come up when it rains. See, for us, the rains of eternal peace, hope, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit, that the rains have already come. They are here. They have watered our lives. What we need to do is make sure we are planted where God has called us to do ministry so we can have that fruit come up in our lives. Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence and fullness of joy, in your right hand, there are pleasures forever." See, we need to realize the joy that Jesus has brought us. Because if you're in Death Valley all the time and those rains, you know, they only come every once in a while and the super bloom only happens maybe once a year or maybe once every 5 years or 7 or 8 or 10 years, it's hard to remember the joy. Amen? Oh, yeah. Y'all are the happiest people on the face of the planet today. Yeah, it's hard. And when we get stuck in a rut, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to see the joy. It's hard to see what's happening right in front of us. It's hard to remember the promises of God because of whatever's going on in our life. Whatever is next for you needs to start thriving because of the resurrection. God's already planted the seeds. He's already told you. He's already shown you. You may have missed it, but I'm telling you, probably for 99% of us, God has already told you what you're supposed to be doing in life. He's already shown you. He may have already planted you in a place of influence. He may have already put you into a family. He may have already created an atmosphere for you, and you're just missing it. I think that's part of it 99% of the time, even for me, is to miss what is so obvious right in front of us, just like the resurrected Christ was for the disciples. And so when we hear that, I want you to hear Ephesians 1:16-18. This is Paul. He's writing this letter. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, to the Ephesians, and he says, "I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints." See, I think what you need to see right here is we need to find freedom in the resurrection. Because here's what y'all did this week. I followed you around, planted cameras, I had spies. After the resurrection was over, on Resurrection Sunday was over this last week, and we had the great time in here, all of y'all went back to your normal life at least on Monday morning, right? You went back to doing the same old things. You went back to fishing, just like the disciples did. Only two of you, and Dallas, showed up on Monday to help me clean up the joy of the mess of Resurrection Sunday, right? When Bible studies and small groups happened this week, there were only, at least in my little circle, there was only one new person. Everybody else is doing their same thing. Not being mean, I'm not throwing rocks, I'm not shaming you or whatever. I just want you to see that this is our pattern. It's all of our patterns. It's my pattern, okay? I did the exact same thing. I got up Monday morning, and I did the exact same thing I always do, except clean up 48 pounds of confetti, right? I did this exact same thing. On Tuesday, the same thing. On Wednesday, the same thing. On Thursday, right? And then I start thinking and writing, and I go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. This is not what I want to do. This is not how I want to live." And it's like in my head, this is the problem with all of us. And so what do we do? How do we live this out? Well, I'm going to go back. And I'm going to give you just out of this one passage of Scripture. The first thing is we need this knowledge of Him. Now, this idea of knowledge, that word right there, it is the knowledge of Him, okay? Let me make sure I'm not jumping ahead of myself. No. The knowledge of Him is not the head knowledge, okay? It's the heart knowledge. The knowledge of Him is not just knowing who Jesus is. The knowledge of Him is having a relationship with the Jesus who is. the right Jesus. Not the Jesus that we have a preconceived idea about, but the Jesus who is, the Jesus of Scripture, the Jesus of God. That's the one that he wants us to have knowledge of. And this knowledge right here, by the way, it is to know him better. But since this is a family show, I'm going to sugarcoat this really quickly, is that word knowledge, it's the same word that is used in the Old Testament, keep up, when God said, right, or when Scripture says that Adam had knowledge of Eve, right, and they had a child. Everybody with me? That's a different knowledge. Okay? Now, let me just say it in this way, right? I know Robin, and so I know her motivations. I know how she thinks most of the time. I know her heart. I know how she lives, and I know when she says things. I know pretty much what normally she, you know, usually means. I don't say that 100% for any of us, right? But I know her. And even if she's having a horrible, no good, rotten day, and she bites a little bit, I know she doesn't not like me. Let me rephrase that. I know she still loves me. That just went through my head right then. I was like, no, that's not what I need to say, right? I know she still loves me. I know her. Okay? Yeah. Robert and I have known each other, I don't even know how many years now. Four, five, six, I don't know, a while, okay? I know Robert, but I don't know Robert, okay? As much as I love and care for Robert and his family, I don't know really, I mean, I think I do, but I really don't. I don't know his motivations. I don't know when he says one thing, if he means another. I don't know what's going through his mind, okay? I don't know him, even though I know him. I have knowledge of him, and we're friends. We have great conversations, right? See, this is what he's talking about with God, to have knowledge of God. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Here's what that means. All of y'all are looking and seeing the same thing right now, right? Right, this is like the Shekinah glory of God himself that all of y'all are envisioning right here. I mean, if there was going to be a painting, I would have the halo around my head. I'm just saying. But as you all look, you all interpret differently. And I don't even mean this as a joke or funny, but it's true. So here's some college-age students over here. I am as old as Methuselah to these college-age students right now. Right? But for some of the folks sitting on the front row, they're like, he's looking good. Yeah. See, they see the same thing. They don't interpret it in the same way. Because the eyes of our heart have jaded us over a lot of things, right? They don't know what it is to be 54 years old yet, right? They think they're going to look really good at 54. Oh, come on, you 54 and olders. Tell them they're not. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. They are. They're going to look fantastic. But that's what he's talking about. He goes, you need to not see with your eyes, but see with your heart. And then he says, for the hope of his calling. See, you have a calling. You have a vision. You have a purpose. You do have a plan. And God has it laid out, not in a predetermined way, not in a predestined way, but he wants to show you. Right? He wants to show you how he wants you to minister in the world, how he wants to love your family, how he wants you to love your neighbors, and how he wants you to raise your children, and how he wants you to work in the workplace, and how he wants you to go to school and interact with professors and with teachers and with friends and with enemies and all the things. Because I heard this a long time ago, and I like it, and I forget it all the time. When God created you, he created you on purpose for a purpose. Amen? Come on. He created you on purpose for a purpose, and you need to figure out what it is by calling it in prayer and asking him. And then the other thing is this inheritance of the saints, this last one. You are the saints. I know that's crazy to think about, because when I look at you, all I see are sinners. The only saint I ever see is in the mirror. That's the only one I know. But y'all, right, you are the saints. Okay, I'm mistaken. You are the saints. Okay? You are the inheritance that God is talking about. Not just a kingdom inheritance when it comes to you from heaven when we get there, but a kingdom inheritance right now with the people around you. Because you have influence. Your inheritance is based on what you're investing in other people. Right? Your inheritance, Dallas always calls, in scripture where it says that, where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, you know, and God has a house, a mansion with many rooms, right? He's building you a place, and if it were not so, I would have told you. No, he's building this place. Dallas has a great analogy. Every time we invest in other people and every time we invest in godly things, he always says, we're sending wood up to heaven, right? For whatever's being laid before you. Okay, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know what that looks like. It's just an analogy. It's a way for God to teach us. But that inheritance is now. You are building an inheritance in the kingdom of God that is on earth right now for us to partake in. Not to wait until somebody dies. Not to wait until you die, but right now. And so there's this hope. But this junk of our life gets in the way. And so when we find freedom, right? Finding freedom, there's something that we have to do, and that's to get rid of the junk, right? We have to get rid of our preconceived ideas. And so where that comes from is right here, and this one's a little harder for most of us, okay? It's harder because we don't like doing this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Let me just say that again. Confess your sins to one another. How about a third time? To one another. To one another. Yes, we're supposed to confess to God. Yes, we're supposed to ask for forgiveness. But look what it says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. See, in relationships where we're talking about this inheritance on earth with people, right, this investment in people, the only way you're going to find healing in relationships right here is if we talk to each other and if we confess to each other. Because I know this, if I make Robert really mad, right, and I offend him terribly, and I do something stupid, which I will do eventually if I haven't already, it does me no good for me to say, oh God, I'm sorry for what I've done to Robert. Would you please fix our relationship? And then me go pick up Robert to go eat, and Robert doesn't answer the door because I haven't said a word to him about asking for forgiveness. I haven't said a word to him about being sorry. I haven't said a word to his family about offending all of them for whatever I did. You know, however that goes. See, it says, confess your sins to one another. And it may be that I need to go talk to Dallas about what I've done to Robert to get advice and to have prayer and for Dallas to go with me. Because if you haven't seen Robert lately, he can crush me like a grape with his right hand. At least Dallas can stop him, slow him down. See, this is about living in community. And look, it says it to do this, right? Pray for one another, confess your sins to one another, comma, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. See, we want healing in our relationships, but we don't want to do the work. Yeah. I'm a chief sinner of this deal. I mean, I know how to screw up a relationship. Just ask any of my friends. Do I know how to say I'm sorry and fix it? Just ask any of my friends. Right? It's hard. It's hard. But we try. We work and we move forward. There's an eternal freedom that comes with confession of God. There's a right now freedom that comes with a confession to each other, and we'll unpack that on a different day. We've done that a little bit. But the other thing is we need to discover vision, okay? And to discover vision, we really have to ask God. If you want to know where you're going in life, if you want to know what God has for you, you have to ask him. And without vision, I like this, and we quote it all the time, and I'm not going to take it out of context, so I'm not going to preach the whole context of this passage of Scripture, but where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, or if you read the King James, the people will perish, okay? So we need vision. right? And it goes on, right? It says, but happy is the one who keeps the law, talking about doing what God tells us to do, right? Following the way of Jesus. That's the happy person. Not just having a vision, but following Jesus with a vision. So when we need that vision, we need the vision as a church, we need vision as friends, we need vision as husbands and wives. I mean, we need vision. If you're a business owner, you need a vision for your company and your employees. And I don't mean just the bottom line vision. I mean, how are you going to help them be better at life? How are you going to help them be a better person? How are you going to help them be a better employee, a better in relationships, a better coworker, right? I mean, all those things. And friends, it's my job to help Robert be a better friend. I just realized I was yelling. Passionate. See, this is where we live in community together, because if we don't, then we do perish. We are unrestrained. We are unrestricted, which means we just go do our own thing. And that's never healthy. Never healthy. We need to follow God. And then Romans 12:6, in this idea of discovering vision. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, and it goes on with all the different gifts. If you want to read through that whole passage of Scripture in Romans, I encourage you to do so. But here's my point, is you all have a purpose, and Scripture lays it out pretty clearly. You just have to ask God what your gift is. And most of you already know, but you just think it's a natural gift. Okay, so you're not speaking in tongues. Not all of you are going to speak in tongues, okay? Some of you can speak in tongues, you just hadn't done it yet, and I mean that sincerely, right? Some of you have a prayer language that you just keep to yourself in the back of your mind because you think if somebody hears that, they're going to call me to come cast out a demon. Amen? Yeah, I mean, if somebody, we talk about stuff in small groups sometimes, that if we talk about, man, what would happen on Sunday morning if that took place? And everybody's like, oh my gosh, nobody'd come back the next week, right? People would run screaming out of the room. People would go, oh, all that's made up. No, the spiritual gifts are from God. They are real. We think they're scary because we had never seen them, right? If we're not operating in them, then we're never going to catch the vision that God has for us. And not all of those are those crazy, mysterious, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, and prophesying. There's a whole lot of other ones. Are you operating in them? Are you asking? And if you're not, why? I mean, if you want the answers to the question, you got to ask the question. Next week, we're going to literally show you how easy this is. Not speaking in tongues and not casting out demons and whatever, none of that. I mean, if that happens, fantastic, but that's not what I'm talking about. We're literally going to show you how to be in ministry, how easy it is. We're literally going to show you what it's like to be a part of a community. I encourage you to be here. It's really going to be fun. That was probably a bad introduction, wasn't it, Dallas? Well, that just scared everybody to death. We're not talking about the hocus pocus, right? The supernatural. We're talking about the supernatural relationships of doing ministry. I'm talking about how you can do this in your families. I could talk about how you can do this with your friends. Talk about how you can do this with this group right here and be in ministry together, because we are called to make a difference. This is the what's next. The resurrection of Jesus was not meant to be kept to ourselves. The resurrection of Jesus was not Jesus going straight to heaven and reclaiming his throne. No. Last week we said he went on a walk. He went and talked to people. He went and gave them instructions. He said, go and tell. He told the disciples, go and baptize. Go and make other disciples. We're supposed to be doing these things, and we're supposed to make a difference. Because when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with our laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then the Lord said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. See, if we will do all that stuff we just talked about, if you'll catch a vision, right? If you'll do different things, right? If you'll find freedom in your own life, if you'll find the gifts that God has for you, look what it says. the people will see you and say, the Lord has done great things for them. Because when they start asking you questions, you go, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about who Jesus is in my life. Let me tell you about how he changed me and how he transformed me. This is why I am who I am. This is why I'm different. This is why I do what I do. And then they're going to go, oh. And then they want to be a part of it. You don't have to preach. Matter of fact, I don't want you to preach. I need a job. Right? See, I need you to go out and do these things. I need you to do these in your families. I need to do these with your friends. The last one is this, and I'm just going to read it to you. And I'm going to read all of it to you, this last part. Yeah, this last part right here. It says, so look. I'm going to say it one more time. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, your heart is captive right now, right? It's in fear. It's in a rut. It's too used to doing it your own way. And then look, we were like those who dream, like those that you look and you go, I want to be like them. I want to be different. I want to be like that family. Or I want to have that in my life. I want to have that joy. I want to have that blessing. I want to have that whatever. We're not talking stuff. But he says, you got to dream these things. Then your mouth will be filled with laughter. Then you're going to be singing praises to God. Then you're going to be seeing the answers to prayer. Then you're going to start catching the vision. See, it comes back to that first thing I just said in the very beginning, is you got to find freedom. And so for today, we'll unpack next week what all that really means about finding that freedom and that dreaming and that reality. But for today, I just want you to start opening yourself up and being prepared for it. I just want you to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know where to go. I'm in my upper room and I've locked the door, right? I've held myself captive. There's a song that I'm listening to right now talking about how I've put myself in chains. I've put myself in shackles. I bought them for myself, right? I've done this. We talked last week or on Good Friday. We put ourselves in the tomb. See, all that has been rendered null and void if we'll just take it, if we'll just accept it, and then your life will change. I promise it will. I could point to a lot of people in this room and just tell them to give you their testimony, and you'd go, oh, that's how it works. It is. It's not hard. You just have to take the first step. So, Lord, today, what's next? I'm asking that for myself. I'm asking that for us as a family of faith right here in this room and online, Lord, as we are gathered together. Lord, I'm asking this on behalf of every individual in the room. Lord, that you would show us your way. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, just like you did the disciples. Lord, I probably don't need to see you coming. Father, I need you to appear right beside me and just overwhelm me. Lord, I pray that for everybody in this room. In the name of Jesus, all the people said, amen. You want me to read this?
It came from the back.
Oh, it came from the back. So listen to this little note that somebody handed, well, Dallas handed it to me. It said, when God placed his calling on you, he's already figured in your stupidity. I love that. Matter of fact, somebody came in at Good Friday last week and we were doing some setting up and they were joking, but they didn't know how serious they were. They yelled across the room. They said, hey, do you know what you're doing over there? I said, I haven't known what I've been doing since 2001 when I left the police department. So don't be afraid to go and make disciples. He already knows when and where you will mess up. And he will use that. Oh my gosh. Has he ever used your mess-ups? Oh, yeah.
It usually works out better.
It usually works out better. It does. So just hear that word. Don't go in fear. Go in faith.
Amen. Church, would you join me as we lift up in prayer for a closing prayer? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, your love. Lord, I thank you for the baptism this morning with Callan. Lord, his innocence, his joy to be in your presence, Lord, for the reminder that as he is precious to you, we are precious to you, Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you today because you cannot fail. You will never fail. You've told us that is the promise we have. It's the promise we have in Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for those in the church that some of us are we're in the mountaintop moments. We're in the super bloom. Everything's great. The career is great. Our family's great. Everybody's healthy. Finances. We have joy. We have peace. And I thank you for those because it is from you. It is a gift from you. Father, some of us here, we're in the valley of dry bones. We're hurting. We know you, but we feel lost. We feel lost in our jobs. We feel lost in our marriages. We feel lost in our family. We know you, but we feel lost. And I thank you. I thank you for those moments, because that is where you are. Your word says that you are with the brokenhearted. Father, I pray that we seek you, in those moments, because that is my story. That is my song. That's my healing. That's my testimony. And we use that. We show that to others. We love because you loved us. We forgive because you forgave us. I pray that we leave, as we leave and we go out, that we are not stingy, that we are not selfish with that love. I pray that we are bold, not out of arrogance, not out of a feeling that I'm better than you, but as a feeling of love that Jesus loved. He showed us. He showed us how to pray. He showed us how to seek. And when we're in that valley, Lord, I pray that we seek the way that he sought, that we love the way he loved, that we forgive as he forgave. Guide us and teach us and lead us. It's in your son's name that we pray. And all the church said, amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.